Chapter 21. Not a mistake to ignore. Swan rolled her shoulder. She grimaced at the sharp pain. "You Kiri," she grumbled. "That weave of yours still needs work." The tiny gray cursed softly, standing up from beside a soldier who had lost his hand. She hadn't healed him, instead leaving him to more mundane healers with bandages. To spend energy healing this man would be a waste, as he would never fight again. They needed to save their strength for soldiers who could rejoin the battle. It was brutal reasoning. Well, these were brutal times. Swan and Yukiri moved on to the next soldier in the line of wounded. The man with the missing hand would survive without healing. Probably. They had the yellows in Mayen, but their energy was consumed in healing Aes Sedai who had survived the escape, and soldiers who could still fight. All through the makeshift camp, set up on Arafelin soil east of the river's ford, soldiers wept and groaned. So many wounded, and Swan and Yukiri were among the few Aes Sedai left with any strength to heal. Most of the others had drained themselves, making gateways to bring their army out from between the two attacking forces. The Sharans had attacked aggressively, but securing the White Tower's camp had occupied them for a while, giving time for the army to flee. Pieces of it, at least. Yukiri delved the next man, then nodded. Swan knelt down and began a healing weave. She'd never been very good at this, and even with an Angreal, it took a lot out of her. She brought the soldier back from the edge of death, healing the wound in his side. He gasped, much of the energy for the healing coming from his own body. Swan wavered, then fell to her knees in exhaustion. Light. She was as unsteady as a noblewoman her first day on the deck of a ship. Yukiri looked her over, then reached out for the Angreal, a small stone flower. "Go rest, Swan." Swan clenched her teeth but handed over the Angreal. The one power slipped from her, and she let out a deep sigh, half relieved and half saddened at losing the beauty of Saidar. Yukiri moved to the next soldier. Swan lay back where she was, her body complaining of its numerous bruises and aches. The events of the battle were a blur to her. She remembered young Gawain Trakand bursting into the command tent, yelling that Egwene wanted the army to retreat. Bryn had moved quickly, dropping a written order through the gateway in the floor. That was his newest method of passing commands. An arrow shaft with a note and a long ribbon tied to it dropped through a gateway high above. There were no heads on the shafts, just a small stone to weight them. Bryn had been restless before Gawain appeared. He hadn't liked the way the battle had been playing out. The way the Trollocs moved had warned him that the Shadow had been planning something. Swan was certain he'd already prepared the orders. Then there had been the explosions in camp, and Yukiri yelling for them to jump through the hole in the floor. Light. She'd assumed the woman was mad. Mad enough to save all of their lives, apparently. "Burn me if I'm going to lie here like a piece of yesterday's catch on the deck," Swan thought, staring up at the sky. She hauled herself to her feet and started stalking through the new camp. Yukiri claimed her weave wasn't all that obscure, though Swan had never heard of it. A massive cushion of air, meant to cradle someone who had fallen a great distance. Crafting it had drawn the attention of the Sharans. Sharans, of all things. But they'd escaped. She, Bryn, Yukiri, and a few aides. Burn her, they'd gotten out, though that fall still made her wince to remember. And Yukiri kept saying she thought the weave might be the secret behind discovering how to fly. Fool woman. There was a good reason the Creator hadn't given people wings. She found Bryn at the edge of the new camp, sitting exhausted on a stump. Two battle maps spread out by stones lay on the ground in front of him. The maps were wrinkled. He'd grabbed them as the tent started to explode around him. Fool man, she thought, risking his life for a couple of pieces of paper.
From reports, said General Harem, the new commander of the Ilianer Companions. I'm sorry, my lord. The scouts don't dare sneak too close to the old camp.
No sign of the Amerlin? Swan asked. Bryn and Harem both shook their heads. Keep looking, young man. Swan wagged a finger at Harem. He raised an eyebrow at her use of the word young. Burn this youthful face she'd been given.
I mean it. The Amerlin is alive. You find her, you hear me?
Yes, Aes Sedai.
He showed some measure of respect, but not enough. These Ilianers didn't know how to treat Aes Sedai. Bryn waved the man off, and for once it didn't look as if anyone was waiting to meet with him. Everyone was probably too exhausted. Their camp looked more like a collection of refugees from a terrible fire than it did an army. Most of the men had rolled themselves in cloaks and gone to sleep. Soldiers were better than sailors at sleeping whenever and wherever they could. She couldn't blame them. She'd been exhausted before the Sharans arrived. Now she was tired as death itself. She sat down on the ground beside Bryn's stump.
I'm still hurting you? Bryn asked, reaching down to rub her shoulder.
You can feel that it is, Swan grumbled.
Merely trying to be pleasant, Swan.
Don't think I haven't forgotten that you're to blame for this bruise.
Me?
Bryn said, sounding amused. You pushed me through the hole.
You didn't seem ready to move.
I was just about to jump. I was almost there.
I'm certain, Bryn said.
It's your fault, Swan insisted. I tumbled. I hadn't intended to tumble. And Yukiri's weave.
Horrible thing. It worked, Bryn said. I doubt many people can claim to have fallen 300 paces and survived.
She was too eager, Swan said. She was probably longing to make us jump, you know. All that talk about traveling and weaves of movement.
She trailed off, partly because she was annoyed at herself. This day had gone poorly enough without her griping at Bryn.
How many did we lose?
Not a much better topic, but she needed to know.
Do we have reports yet?
Nearly one in two of the soldiers, Bryn said softly.
Worse than she'd suspected.
And the Aes Sedai?
We have somewhere around 250 left, Bryn said. Though a number of those are in shock at having lost warders.
That was more of a disaster. 120 Aes Sedai dead in a matter of hours? The White Tower would require a very long time to recover from that.
I'm sorry, Swan, Bryn said.
Bah, Swan said. Most of them treated me like fish guts anyway. They resented me as Amerlin, laughed when I was cast down, and then made a servant of me when I returned.
Bryn nodded, still rubbing her shoulder. He could feel that she was hurt, despite her words. There were good women among the dead. Many good sisters.
She's out there, Swan said stubbornly. Egwene will surprise us, Bryn. You watch.
If I'm watching, it won't be much of a surprise, will it?
Swan grunted.
Fool man.
You're right, he said solemnly. On both counts. I think Egwene will surprise us. I'm also a fool.
Bryn,
I am, Swan. How could I miss that they were stalling? They wanted to occupy us until this other force could gather. The Trollocs pulled back into those hills. A defensive move. Trollocs aren't defensive.
I assumed they were trying to set up an ambush only, and that was why they were pulling back corpses and preparing to wait. If I'd attacked them earlier, this could have been avoided. I was too careful.
A man who thinks all day about the catch he missed because of stormy weather ends up wasting time when the sky is clear.
A clever proverb, Swan, he said. But there's a saying among generals, written by Foch the Tireless. If you do not learn from your losses, you will be ruled by them. I can't see how I let this happen. I've trained better than this, prepared better than this. It's not just a mistake I can ignore, Swan. The pattern itself is at stake.
He rubbed his forehead. In the dim light of the setting sun, he looked older, his face wrinkled, his hands frail. It was as if this battle had stolen decades from him. He sighed, hunching forward. Swan found herself at a loss for words. They sat in silence.
Lyrella waited outside the gates to the so-called Black Tower. It took every ounce of her training not to let her frustration show. This entire expedition had been a disaster from the start. First, the Black Tower had refused them entry until the Reds had done their business, and that had been followed by the trouble with gateways. That had been followed by 3 bubbles of evil, 2 attempts by Dark Friends to murder the lot of them, and the warning from the Ammerlin that the Black Tower had joined the Shadow to fight. Lyrella had sent most of her women to fight alongside Landman Dragoran at the Ammerlin's insistence. She'd remained behind with a few sisters to watch the Black Tower. And now this. What to make of it?
I can assure you, the young Ashaman said. The danger has passed. We drove off them, Hale, and the others who turned to the Shadow. The rest of us walk in the light.
Lyrella turned to her companions. A representative from each Aja, along with backup, sent for desperately this morning when the Ashaman had first approached her, in the form of 30 other sisters. They accepted Lirella's leadership here, if only reluctantly. "We will discuss it," she said, dismissing the young Ashaman with a nod.
"What do we do?"
Mirel asked. The Green had been with Lyrella from the start, one of the few that she'd not sent away, partially because she wanted the woman's warders near.
"If some of their members are fighting for the Shadow..."
"Gateways can be made again," Cian said. "Something has changed about this place in the days since we felt that channeling inside."
"I don't trust it," Mirel said.
"We must know for certain," Cian said. "We cannot leave the Black Tower unattended during the last battle itself. We must see these men taken care of, one way or another." The Black Tower men claimed that only a few of their number had joined the Shadow, and that the channeling had been the result of an attack by the Black Aja. It galled her to hear them use those words. Black Aja. For centuries the White Tower had denied the existence of Dark Friends among Aes Sedai. The truth had unfortunately been revealed. That didn't mean Lyrella wanted to hear men tossing around the term so casually, particularly men like these. "If they'd wanted to attack us," Lyrella said speculatively, "they'd have done it when we couldn't escape with gateways. For now, I will assume they have cleansed the problems among their ranks, as was required of the White Tower itself."
"So we go in?" Mirel asked.
"Yes. We bond the men we were promised and from them draw out the truth, if it is obscured." It troubled Lyrella that the Dragon Reborn had refused them the highest ranking among the Ashaman, but Lyrella had devised a plan when she first came here. It should still work. She would first ask for a display of channeling among the men, and would bond the one she felt was strongest. She would then have that one tell her which among the trainees were the most talented, so her sisters could bond those. From there, well, she hoped that would contain the majority of these men. Light. What a mess. Men who could channel. Walking about. Unashamed. She did not accept this fable of the taint having been cleansed. Of course these men would claim such a thing. Sometimes, Lirella muttered, I wish I could go back and slap myself for accepting this commission. Mirelle laughed. She never did take events as seriously as she should. Lirella felt annoyed at having missed the chances to be had at the White Tower during her long absence. Reunification, fighting the Shan-Chan. These were the times when leadership could be proven, and a woman could gain a reputation for strength. Opportunities appeared during times of upheaval. Opportunities now lost to her. Light, but she hated that thought. We will enter, she called up to the walls, framing the gate before her. Then, more softly, she continued to her women, Hold the One Power, and be careful. We do not know what could happen here. Her women would be a match for a larger number of untrained Ashaman if it came to that. It shouldn't, logically. Of course, the men were likely mad, so perhaps assuming logic from them was imprudent. The large gates opened to allow her people in. It said something about these Black Tower men that they chose to finish the walls around their grounds before actually building their tower. She kneed her horse forward, and Mirelle and the others followed in a clopping of hooves. Lirella embraced the source and used the new weave, which would tell her if a man channeled nearby. It was not the young man from a short time ago who met them at the gates, however. What is this? Lirella asked, as she was joined by Pavara Tazanovni. Lirella knew the red sitter, though not well. I've been asked to accompany you, Pavara said cheerfully. Loghain thought that a familiar face might make you more comfortable. Lirella held in a sneer. Aes Sedai should not be cheerful. Aes Sedai should be calm, collected, and, if anything else, stern. A man should look at an Aes Sedai and immediately wonder what he had done wrong and how he could fix it. Pavara fell in beside her as they rode onto the grounds of the Black Tower. Loghain, who is in charge now, sends his regards, Pavara continued. He was gravely wounded in the attacks and has not yet fully recovered. Will he be well? Oh, certainly. He should be up and about in another day or two. He will be needed to lead the Ashaman as they join the last battle, I suspect. Pity, Lirella thought. The Black Tower would have been more easily controlled without a false dragon at their head. Better that he had died. I am certain his aid will be useful, Lirella said. His leadership, however. Well, we shall see. Tell me, Pavara, I have been told that bonding a man who can channel is different from bonding a normal man. Have you been through the process? Yes, Pavara said. Is it true, then? Lirella asked. Ordinary men can be compelled with the bond to obey, but not these Ashaman? Pavara smiled, seeming wistful. Ah, what would that be like? No, the bond cannot force Ashaman. You will have to use more inventive means. This was not good. How obedient are they? Eledrin asked from the other side. It depends on the man, I suspect, Pavara said. If they cannot be forced, Lirella said, will they obey their Aes Sedai in battle? Probably, Pavara said, though there was something ambiguous about the way she said it. I must tell you something, all of you. The mission I was sent on and the one you also pursue is a fool's errand. Is that so? Lirella asked evenly. She was hardly going to trust a red after what they had done to Swan. Why is that? I was once where you are, Pavara said, ready to bond all of the Ashaman in an attempt to control them. But would you ride into another city and select 50 men there at a whim, and bond them as warders? Bonding the Ashaman just to bond them is foolish. It will not control them. I do think some Ashaman will make excellent warders, but, like many men, others will not. I suggest that you abandon your plan to bond exactly 47 and take those who are most willing. You will gain better warders.
Interesting advice, Lirella said. But as you mentioned, the Ashaman will be needed at the battlefront. There is not time. We will take the 47 most powerful.
Pavara sighed, but said nothing further as they passed several men in black coats with two pins on the high collars. Lirella felt her skin crawling as if insects burrowed beneath it. Men who could channel.
Lilaine felt that the Black Tower was vital to the White Tower's plans. Well, Lirella did not belong to Lilaine. She was her own person, and a sitter in her own right. If she could find a way to bring the Black Tower under her direct authority, then perhaps she could finally wiggle out from under Lilaine's thumb. For that prize, bonding Ashaman was worthwhile. Light, but she wasn't going to enjoy it. They needed all of these men controlled somehow. The dragon would be growing mad, unreliable by this point, tainted by the Dark One's touch on Sidon. Could he be manipulated into letting the rest of the men be bonded? Not having control through the bond, that will be dangerous. She imagined going into battle with ranks of 2 or 3 dozen Ashaman, bonded and forced to her will. How could she make it happen? They reached a line of men in black coats waiting at the edge of the village. Lirella and the others approached them, and Lirella did a quick count. 47 men, including the one standing at the front. What trick were they trying to pull? The one at the front came forward. He was a sturdy man in his middle years, and he looked as if he'd recently suffered some kind of ordeal. He had bags under his eyes and wan skin. His step was firm, however, and his gaze steady as he met Lirella's eyes, then bowed to her.
"Welcome, Aes Sedai," he said.
"And you are?"
"Andral Genhald," he said. "I've been put in charge of your 47 until they have been bonded."
"My 47? I see that you have forgotten the terms already. We are to be given any soldier or dedicated we wish, and they cannot refuse us."
"Yes, indeed," Andral said. "That is true. Unfortunately, all of the men in the Black Tower other than these are either full Ashaman, or have been called away on urgent business. The others would, of course, follow the dragon's commands if they were here. We made certain to keep 47 for you. Actually, 46. I've already been bonded by Pavara Sedai, you see."
"We will wait until the others return," Lirella said coldly.
"Alas," Andral said, "I do not think they will return any time soon. If you intend to join the last battle, you will have to make your selections quickly."
Lirella narrowed her eyes at him, then looked at Pavara, who shrugged.
"This is a trick," Lirella said to Andral, "and a childish one."
"I thought it clever myself," Andral returned, voice cool. "Worthy of an Aes Sedai, one might say. You were promised that any member of the Black Tower, save full Ashaman, would respond to your request. They will. Any of them to whom you can make the request."
"Undoubtedly you chose for me the weakest among your numbers."
"Actually," Andral said, "we took those who volunteered. They're good men, every one of them. They're the ones who wanted to be warders."
"The dragon reborn will hear of this."
"From what I've heard," Andral said, "he's heading to Sheol Ghul any time now. Are you going to join him there just to make your complaint?"
Lirella drew her lips into a line.
"Here's the thing," Aes Sedai, Andral said. The Dragon Reborn sent a message to us, just earlier today. He instructed us to learn one last lesson, that we're not to think of ourselves as weapons, but as men. Well, men have a choice in their fate, and weapons do not. Here are your men, Aes Sedai. Respect them.
Andral bowed again and walked away. Pavara hesitated, then turned her horse, following him. Lirella saw something in the woman's face as she looked at the man.
So that is it, Lirella thought. No better than a green, that one is. I would have expected more of one her age.
Lirella was tempted to refuse this manipulation, to go to the Ammerlin and protest what had happened. Only, news from the Ammerlin's battlefront was jumbled, something about an unexpected army appearing. Details were not available. Certainly the Ammerlin would not be happy to hear complaints at this point. And certainly, Lirella admitted to herself, she also wanted to be done with the Black Tower.
Each of you pick two, Lirella said to her companions. A few of us will take only one. Faelain and Theodrin, you are among those. Be quick about it, all of you. I want away from this place as soon as possible.
Pavara caught up to Andral as he slipped into one of the huts.
Light, she said. I'd forgotten how cold some of us can be.
Oh, I don't know, Andral replied. I've heard that some of you aren't quite so bad.
Be careful of them, Andral, she said, looking back out.
Many will see you as only a threat or a tool to be used.
We won you over, Andral said, walking into a room where Canler, Jonath, and Damaran waited with cups of warm tea. All three were beginning to recover from the fighting, Jonath most quickly.
Imaren bore the worst scars, most of them emotional. He, like Loghain, had been subjected to the turning process. Pavara noticed him staring blankly sometimes, face etched by fear, as if remembering something horrible.
You three shouldn't be here, Pavara said, hands on hips, facing Imaren and the other two.
I know Loghain promised you advancement, but you still wear only the sword on your collars. If any of those women saw you, they could take you as warders.
They won't see us, Jonath said with a laugh. Andral would have us through a gateway before we had time to curse. So what do we do now?
Canler asked.
Whatever Loghain wishes of us, Andral said.
Loghain had changed since the ordeal. Andral whispered to her that he was darker now. He spoke less. He did still seem determined to get to the last battle, but for now, he gathered the men in and pored over things they'd found in Taim's rooms. Pavara worried that the turning had broken him inside.
He thinks there might be something in those battle maps he found in Taim's chambers, Imaren said.
We'll go where Loghain decides we can be of most use, Andral replied.
A straightforward answer, but one that didn't actually say much.
And what of the Lord Dragon? Pavara asked carefully.
She felt Andral's uncertainty. The Ashaman Naif had come to them, bearing news and instructions, and with them some implications. The Dragon Reborn had known all was not well at the Black Tower.
He left us alone on purpose, Andral said.
He would have come if he could have, Jonath said. I promise you.
He left us to escape on our own, Imaren said, or to fall on our own. He has become a harsh man, perhaps callous.
It doesn't matter, Andral said. The Black Tower has learned to survive without him. Light. It always survived without him. He barely had anything to do with us. It was Loghain who gave us hope. It is Loghain who will have my allegiance.
The others nodded. Pavara felt something important happening here. They couldn't have leaned upon him forever anyway, she thought. The Dragon Reborn will die at the last battle. By intention or not,
He had given them the chance to become their own men.
I will take his last order to heart, however, Andral said. I will not be merely a weapon. The taint is cleansed. We fight not to die, but to live. We have a reason to live. Spread the word among the other men, and let us take oaths to uphold Loghain as our leader, and then to the last battle. Not as minions of the dragon reborn, not as pawns of the Amarlin seat, but as the Black Tower, our own men. Our own men, the other three whispered, nodding.